Welcome to the Power Kid Podcast, the premier and longest running podcast focused on the modern toy and entertainment industry. Power Kid is an award-winning design and development firm, and we are a proud member of the Adventure Media and Events Podcast Network family. Adventure Media is the publisher of your favorite industry publications, including The Toy Book, The Toy Insider, and The Pop Insider. I am your host, Phil Albritton, and I bring you great conversations with talented people making amazing products for kids. Toys, books, games, TV, movies, I bring them to you here every episode. Welcome aboard. Hello, 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 Power Kids, and welcome to another Power Kid podcast. Guys, every episode, it is my honor and privilege to come on here and to share with you these great conversations with talented people all over the world making great things for kids. I am super excited about our show today. I have Doug Putman on the line. Let me introduce you to Doug. He owns Everest Toys. He's also the owner of FYE, Alex Brands, Sunrise Records, The Granite Restaurant, and Making Waves Marine. On August 19th, it was announced that his Canadian-based family-owned company, Putman Investments, was buying Toys R Us and Babies R Us Canada brands with 81 stores, and he plans to expand. Doug has a strong belief in the potential of brick-and-mortar retail, even as we're coming through the challenging economic times of the pandemic. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's absolutely a pleasure to talk to you, Doug. We always start with the same question in the beginning. How did you come to be involved in the toy industry?
My mom and dad, my dad was a steel worker at Stelco. My mom was a bank teller. They remortgaged their house for $50,000 and started to become toy distributors. And then I came on maybe 5 years after that. In a family business. And I still remember my mom telling me, there's not much of a career here. You'll make minimum wage, but we wish you the best of luck and come on in. So I started out in the warehouse and on my spare time in the warehouse being a salesperson, trying to call on people to buy toys.
So steel worker and bank teller, at what point did their lives intersect with the toy industry? Why toy distribution of all things?
Yeah, so my dad would have been in his late 40s, same with my mom. So well into their careers. And I think how it really started was sports cards, hockey and baseball through the 90s was pretty popular. And my dad started driving to the U.S. and buying them and then bringing them back here and selling them, but very quickly realized there was an opportunity in a broader market than just sports cards and started carrying, board games and then toys. When we started, when I got into this business, which would have been, about 20 years ago now, 18 years ago, we're still a very small family run business, four or five employees doing around $2 or $3 million a year in sales. So, it's been a crazy ride.
For sure. What were the challenges, if you recall, of getting into the toy industry, making the right connections at that time, and sort of building out your portfolio for toy distribution?
Well, I mean, so one, it's, anyone in the toy business knows that it's a very tight-knit network. You hear the words incestuous a lot, right? No one ever leaves the toy business.
That's right.
We all just stay in it in different varying forms, supplier, retailer. But I think that was hard because you don't know anyone. And developing relationships is really tough. And honestly, at the time when we were getting into it, we didn't have a lot of money. And so when you don't have a lot of money, you don't have a lot of connections, it starts getting to be challenging. But we were really lucky in that we became Wizards of the Coast distributors and had Pokemon when it was hot. And I think that's what really put us on the map and really helped us to start gaining some relationships and having a bit of money to try and go after other lines to distribute.
connect the dots for me between toy distributor, the Pokemon days, but then also it seems you have a massive interest in brick and mortar retail and in retail stores, not just toys, FYE, Sunrise Records, even restaurants in your portfolio. Tell me about purchasing those establishments and folding them into your portfolio and sort of just begin to talk about how you think about brick and mortar retail.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we did well in the distribution business, and anyone who knows me knows I can't sit still. I've always got to do something new, or it gets boring for me. And so, one of the first things we did was, we bought a marine and a restaurant very closely together, and that was just more of like a fun project. You know, we had a friend who was a technician, really wanted to open a marine. And so we invested in it and came and ran the business for a bit, and similar with the restaurant. But, it really started to evolve. We were selling a customer called Sunrise Records. And I was very close with the buyer there. And the owner of it was a man who was looking to retire. And so at the time they had 5 stores, and I just thought, this would be something really interesting to do. I like the business. I like the guy who was running it, who was a good friend. And so we bought the 5 stores, and really within 2 years of that, one, I realized how tough retail is. I got a rude awakening on that, and how tough retail is when you're smaller. It makes it much harder as well. But, pretty quickly, HMV in Canada filed for bankruptcy. And that was kind of our opportunity. We had a choice. We could go for it, the old go big or go home, or do nothing. And so it felt like the right time. And so we went and said, OK, let's open a lot more than 5 stores. And so we got into, 80 or 85 stores within 1 year, and took on all the old HMV stores and turned them into Sunrise Records. And, from there, it just grew. Like, that did really well for us. A year and a half later, HMV in the UK went bankrupt. So we went over and felt the same thing that we did before, right? We understand the industry, and we like the industry, and we like the physical and the brick and mortar. And so we bought them out of bankruptcy, and that led us to starting to talk to FYE and seeing if they had interest in selling, and they did. So we ended up, buying them. And then David's Tea in Canada started to close a lot of stores. So we started opening up our tea stores. So we have, 70 or so tea kettles in Canada, which then leads to Toys R Us. So it's just this crazy thing where, one opportunity led to another, and, just organically these things kept coming up, and since we're a glutton for punishment, we went for it, and it's been great.
Well, Doug, as you describe this, I get this visual image of the salmon swimming upstream against against everything else that's being said, that's being promoted, that's being talked about. You're opening brick and mortar stores, and you're finding these opportunities to do that. I'm just really fascinated by that. Amazon will be brought up a lot as sort of the future of retail, but you don't agree, and I'd love to hear your position on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's funny. One of the things my family loves doing more than anything is reading the articles when they're written about whatever I've bought or I'm doing, and they love the mean comments. They always send them to me. And I mean, the good thing is I definitely don't take myself very seriously, and I definitely don't have an ego, so I can handle it. But I do love the nasty comments. They just make me kind of laugh. But, look, obviously I get criticized a lot for, one, being in when I first started buying retail. And actually the criticism at that time wasn't so much I was investing in retail. It was that I was investing in record chains, which everyone knew there was no chance of surviving. That can never work. And now it's really that I'm investing in retail. So it's actually not even about what retail I'm buying. I think, look, you're seeing Amazon invest in physical now too. You're seeing, they bought Whole Foods. They're talking about opening department stores. They opened up some Amazon bookstores. There's a reason. And the reason really comes down to having just a strictly online business is great. Clearly, Amazon's, largest retailer. But Customers want the full experience, and that includes being able to go into stores. And so I believe Amazon will continue to invest in brick and mortar. And for me, I'm not doing it because Amazon is. I was investing in it before Amazon was investing in it. I just believe that customers always want to go out and do something. We are social creatures by habit. We love retail therapy. I'm a big fan of retail therapy. And so I think people like going out into the stores. When you specifically look at toy stores, it is not the same thing when you buy a toy from Amazon and ship it and let your 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-old, 50-year-old open it, as it is if you get to go in a store, touch it, see it, play with it, and then buy it. And so I think from our end, we'll keep investing in physical because there is a place for it. And even though business has shifted to online, physical is still the majority of retail sales done.
There it is. And it is all about that experience. You keep bringing up that word experience, and I absolutely agree, especially in toys. Let's compare the experience going on Amazon as opposed to going into a store and buying toilet paper, right? That's okay. That's not a wide margin. I could do either of those. It's not a wide margin, but going and buying a gift for a birthday party, going and buying the next great product for your child or for your nephew or for your grandkid, that is a very, very different experience. And something we talk about a lot on this show is how important the experiential is to the toy industry. And it sounds like you get this. One of the other things I want you to bring out and talk about, you know, we used to talk about a brick and mortar store would have an online branch or an online extension, and that would be an advantage to them. From what I hear you saying is that now an online store can have a brick and mortar advantage. You see having brick and mortar as an advantage. And it's not just only in toys, but it's rooted around that experience. So TRU Canada, Babies R Us Canada, what are you going to do to ensure that that experience keeps up and keeps people driving through your stores?
Yeah, so I definitely do feel it's an advantage. And I think the playbook for Babies R Us is different than the playbook for Toys R Us. So when you look at Babies R Us, the playbook is that when you're having kids for the first time, it is scary. And anyone who thinks back to the first time having a child, you know nothing. You don't know about the diaper. You don't know what crib to buy, what stroller, what car seat. There's a million things, a million reviews, a million comments. You just don't know what to believe, what to trust, what to do. Babies R Us, what the experience is for that store, what it has to be, is a place that mom and dad can come in, feel comfortable, feel confident, and get the knowledge that they need in their visit. This is why this car seat is the better one than that. This is why this stroller is ideal based on what you're telling us. You know, I think we need to be that information center, and we need to be honest and candid and clear and just own being the baby experts. When you look at Toys R Us, Toys R Us has to be different. It has to be fun. Kids have to come in there and love it. It just can't be, here's an item, here's the price. It's got to be, here's an item, play with it, enjoy it, have fun. Jeffrey the giraffe is there. Hopscotch is on the ground. We're blowing bubbles. We've got face painting. Really easy things, because a 5-year-old never comes out of a toy store and says, oh, I didn't think the merchandising was quite good, or the color palette was a bit off. Kids come out and they say, did I play? Did I make that store a disaster? Did I throw things? If I did, that was a blast. And more importantly, did I come out with a toy that my mom or dad bought me? That's what kids want. And when you think about a kid, their store, you know, when you think about the kid's room, it's never clean. It's never perfect. It's never organized. And if it is, it's because mom or dad just cleaned it, and then we're going to destroy it again. And that's where Toys R Us has to get to, is that it doesn't have to be about the most perfect merchandising. It has to be about fun. It has to be about engagement. And if we view everything from the lens of a 5-year-old, we will make that a very successful store. But if we think about it like adults, it's going to be boring, it's going to be dull, but it's going to be really well organized. But that's not what we want.
Yeah. But that scares a lot of the leadership, though, to say we want 5-year olds to come in and we want it. And I'll borrow one from the great Chuck E. Cheese here, where a kid can be a kid. That is a frightening proposition, where a kid can just be a kid. Right. That's a little bit scary, especially for the A-type guy that's shelving the products, or the store manager who's having to run day to day tasks in the store. So how do you balance the chaos of a kid being a kid and the structural organization that retail establishment needs to have?
Yeah, it's a frame of mind shift for sure. And I think what it is, it's just trying to get everyone to go back to their inner child. Look at the world from these happy eyes. Kids wake up and they're happy. They're smiling. You know, we all get a little bit jaded as we get older. And it's about losing that jadedness and saying, you know, the world's a pretty great place for all the problems and this and that. This is a store I can go to and just enjoy it. Just watch my kids play and be crazy. From a store associate's perspective, you know, you really just have to change your state of mind and say, my job is to make this a safe environment where kids can be kids. And it's okay if product doesn't get put back in the exact place where it was. It's okay if a kid picks up a ball and throws it. It's okay if it's a bit messy. Because the great thing is the store closes and that's when we can fix these things. So I think it's about letting them know that what's important isn't that the store is perfect 9 to 9 when they're open. It's that the next morning when we open it up, we've got it put back together. No different than when the parent's cleaning the child's room. You know, it's just saying you have to be okay with letting a little bit of mess happen. And so I do believe it's just it's a state of mind shift. But I think when we look at our store associates at Toys R Us, Babies R Us, I think they're screaming for this. They Yes. want the shackles Yes. taken off of their hands. You don't work for a retailer because you're making millions of dollars. You work for it because you love what they sell. And whether that's Sephora and makeup, whether that's Starbucks, you know, you're buying into that business because you have fun while you're working there. So I actually think as I've been revealing these plans to our associates, I get a lot of passion. Like it feels like they feel they've been too corporate for too long. So when I'm saying, hey, take off these shackles, play. Have fun, engage these kids. This is not about selling product. This is about having fun. They just seem to love it and light up, and just it reminds them of that inner kid.
And the product sales will follow. Doug, opinion time. Listening to you talk about this and to talk about your vision of Toys R Us, had we had the guidance, had we followed this instruction and followed this path, do you think that we would still have a TRU USA?
100%. But I think some of the problems of Toys R Us USA are actually it wasn't the customer. It wasn't that people stopped shopping. I mean, they still had a multi-billion dollar business. You know, part of this is that big companies get involved in owning these companies. So you have an entrepreneur, they build a business, and eventually they want to exit the business. They need to retire. They don't have family members to run it, whatever, a million reasons. They want to cash out, whatever that is. And usually at that point, the only people who have the money are big, big companies, private equities or whoever. And I think what happens is when you sell and they come in and run it, the company is run for it's run differently and it's run for different things. And so then it's about saving every penny. And then it's about how much money can we take out of the business. And then when that rainy day comes, there's no money there. And so I think Toys R Us, yes, it lost its way. But ultimately, I think if there was the right owner, I think you would have seen it survive. But I think this was a problem that was, you know, many years in the making. And so, you know, if they had just been fun, would it have worked? I don't know. I still think you have to be fiscally responsible in the business and you need to leave money in your businesses to weather those rainy days. I certainly would have had a lot better chance. I think in the US, the other thing is, they missed out on having Babies R Us with Toys R Us.
Okay.
You know, bringing those together guaranteed you new customers. Mom or dad came in from when they were pregnant and stuck with you till their kid were out of the home and then they became grandparents. There's that great connection. I mean, everybody knows the Toys R Us jingle. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Like, it was ingrained in us. So I think those are a few of the things that made it challenging. But, you know, I mean, obviously Macy's is doing store within a store with Toys R Us's, so that should be interesting to see. But I still believe there's an opportunity for a true toy retail chain in the U.S. that's larger footprint, you know, 20, 30,000 square feet that has baby incorporated into it. I think that model will work anywhere in the world as long as it's run well.
Yeah. Well, and I can tell you one of the things that manufacturers are missing from the Toys R Us shelves is the ability to expand their lines, to offer Toys R Us unique SKUs, unique items, unique designs on a brand that now, you know, Target and Walmart can only bear. If we develop 10 things, they may only buy two, right? And so, but Toys R Us, they needed to fill their shelves. And so because of the Toys R Us experience, the creativity within the manufacturers could run at a higher level. And I know we're really missing that. Is that something that you want to see from manufacturers as you run TRU Canada? What type of items are you wanting to see? Talk about the shelf space that you need to fill. What do you want from manufacturers?
Well, I mean, look, I think you're right. It gets very hard when you can only sell to a few people. And Amazon is also a great seller, but discovery is very hard with them. When you know what you want, it's very easy. When you don't, it's really difficult. So I think, you know, when we look at it from a toy perspective, we want creativity. We want newness. We don't want the same recycled stuff. But it gets challenging because we're only in Canada. You know, we still do pretty close to $1 billion in sales in Canada. But it gets hard because there isn't that true pure play toy player in the U.S. right now.
Right.
But I think, you know, we're always going to push to try and work with suppliers to say, hey, let us in on your new creative ideas. Let us be the launch pad for us. Let us help the discovery phase of it. And I think with the internet, obviously, there's a lot of bleed over between what you do in Canada and the US and vice versa. So I you know, I'm hopeful that we're going to see more investment in new creative ideas. I think it's been hard with the pandemic, with no trade shows. Those new vendors that you would go and look at Toy Fair in the very bottom there in the last two rows, you know, there's nowhere for them to show. So I think we also need to work as Toys R Us to let the creative community know that, hey, we're still here. You can email us. You can talk to us. We'd love to see new ideas. So I think we just need to encourage that creativity.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the other toy branches of the tree that is Putman Investments, and that is Alex Brands, and that is Everest Toys. What synergies do you see going forward for TRU Canada and these two companies to share? And then maybe that even expands into FYE, which does have a significant toy presence as well.
Yeah, I mean, FYE has done such a great business on collector brands. You know, a lot of impulse toy has been really strong for them. So they've got a great business. And I think, you know, because they're only 250 stores and that's a small number for the US, sometimes they get overlooked. But when you actually look at their top line sales, I mean, they can move some massive quantities through their 250 stores. So, you know, when you look at Everest, I don't know if there's a lot of synergy there. I mean, Everest was a vendor to Toys R Us, a very small vendor. I don't think there's a lot that Toys R Us gains from Everest. I think with Alex, you know, Alex has been great at arts and crafts. It's what they're known for. It's what they've always been known for. I think, you know, obviously this purchase is good for Alex. And I mean, they've been, again, selling to Toys R Us for many, many years now. And Toys R Us was always a big supporter of Alex. I think, you know, it can give Alex a bit more visibility for sure by being more into Toys R Us. But, you know, candidly, I don't think there's as much synergy as you would think at first, because we run every business so independently. Right. We have different presidents in each company. We have different people running it, different sales. We try and let each company do their own thing and not pressure one company to do something for another. You know, we've got a lot of different businesses, but we would never say to Toys R Us, you've got to buy Alex, or say to Everest, you know, you have to do this. We let those people run their businesses And we kind of stay out as a top level leadership and just let them do what they're great at. And if Alex produces great products that Toys R Us wants to buy, that's fantastic. If they don't, you know, then candidly, Alex has to do better, right? So that's how we look at it. But from what I've seen in the you know, year and a half that I've owned Alex, the team's better than they've ever been. The creativity they're coming up with is great. So I see a really great future for Alex just with all retail that they've been selling to. I think they've been doing a really amazing job.
You know, it strikes me, Doug, that you are involved in all aspects of the toy industry, and you may be one of the few that does this distribution, manufacture with Alex Brands, and now very much retail. What's your favorite? that's not a fair question, but well, I'm just curious. Where do you find the most energy?
You know, I remember, you know, someone about the kids, right? I love all my kids equally, but my second is my favorite. and you know, like, I do love all my businesses because they each have something exciting. You know, with retail, it's awesome that you can buy something and you see immediate results. Customers buy it or they don't. I think with manufacturing, the creativity and the development is so interesting and fun. Yeah, you know, I still think the toughest business is distribution because you have two masters, a retailer and a manufacturer. So I think that's probably the tougher of the three businesses. But you know, I really love retail, and I have, you know, quite a bit invested in retail. I think once you get into retail, it's like a bug that you're stuck with, and you love seeing those daily sales reports, and you know, it's an addiction because it's just so immediate what you get to see. So, you know, not just because maybe it is because I just bought it, right? I would say Toys R Us, Babies R Us, because it's the newest child.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think they're all a lot of fun for different ways.
That's a good answer. 5-10 years from now, Doug, as you look into the future of TRU Canada, Babies R Us Canada, what do you want to see? What's your vision? What do you hope for customers to see and experience when they walk into your stores?
Yeah. So, you know, step one, it needs to be engaging. It needs to be fun. So when they step in, I want it to be that great place where their kids absolutely love it, where they know they can bring them on a Tuesday or a Saturday. There's something to do. Great way to kill an hour. When I look at Babies R Us, it's being that authority with mom and dad, the place that you can trust. I think we expect growth. You know, I would like to think that when we're talking, we're not just talking about our Canadian retail business. We're talking about, you know, maybe not a worldwide, but in several country business. You know, I think there's a great opportunity in the US. I've obviously alluded to it. I think it's something we're going to take very seriously and look into very seriously. There's, in my mind, just a great opportunity in the US market. So I would like to think that 5-10 years from now, we've got an awful lot of stores in the US as well, and potentially maybe in other countries, because toys work everywhere. So, you know, it's not just a Canadian or American, or, you know, it works everywhere. So I think that's where I get really excited. You know, growth stories are always really interesting to me.
Extremely exciting. Love to hear your vision, and we'll be paying very close attention as things develop. Doug, thank you for being a brick and mortar champion, for sure. I think we need more of those, and I think your assessment is well thought out and has evidence to back it up. So, well done. How can people reach out to you, learn more, find out about TRU Canada and Babies R Us and all the great things that you own?
Yeah, like I'm always available. Email is simply the best. And it's just Doug@PutmanInvestments.com.
Amazing. Doug, thank you for coming on, for spending some time with me, spending some time talking to the toy industry. I can tell you we are all very excited about this new ownership, and we just absolutely wish you the best. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate you doing this.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for tuning in to the Power Kid Podcast. If you like what you hear, subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And leave a good review on iTunes. This helps us find more great listeners just like you.
Remember also to check out the other shows that are a part of the Adventure Media and Events podcast network family. This show is brought to you by the PowerKid Design and Development Team. We are a full-service design and development studio serving the toy and game industry for over 20 years. Our partners, large and small, rely on us for invention, concept development, packaging, branding, prototyping, and much more. You can find me on my LinkedIn page, check out the website at powerkiddesign.com, or email me directly, phil@powerkiddesign.com. I am always happy to connect and help you develop your next great product. It's been an honor to spend this time with you today. Now go out and make something great, and remember, you are creative because you were created. God bless, and I'll see you next episode.